come here tonight not just to talk about our ministry, but we come here to tell you that the Lord has commanded us through the Great Commission to take the gospel to the nations. And so not everyone has to go. Some people are called to pray. Some people are called to give resources to people who are willing to go and able to go. But I would encourage you. I mean, we have people from every walks of life that go. If the Lord is pressing on you, please come speak with us tonight. We can direct you to the website. We'll be going back again here. I may not be able to go next year because of other obligations. She may be able to go. But there's going to be a team here from Kentucky. They're going to be starting from scratch. So I would encourage you to just be thoughtfully praying. The Lord may be calling you to go on a short-term mission trip. We only go for a week, 7 days. We spend 5 days on the field, four and a half days on the field, and then the rest is spent in the mission home. Kind of, we fly in to Managua, and from Managua we stay one night at the mission home, which is one of the most beautiful places you will ever see. And the next morning, we typically will wake up and bus in, and basically all the old school buses that we have here and that we retire, they're sent to Nicaragua. And so it's just a bunch of old school buses, and they paint them up, and they literally treat them like a brand new Corvette. I mean, they wash them every morning. They service them. I mean, you wouldn't believe all the babying that these things have done. They're just old, beat-up vehicles, but they... For some reason, the vehicles last longer down there. It's because they truly love and care for the things they have. And again, that's another thing that we just take for granted, that the Lord has blessed us with. So other than that, I'll let my wife kind of fill you in a little bit more about the ministries and how you can get involved, and just a little bit about her testimony.
Thanks again for letting us come and share something that we're very passionate about. I started going to Nicaragua when I was 13, and I went every year in high school, and then 1 year in college, and then this year, so this was my seventh year, and the Lord has just really used this short-term mission trip every week just to really mold me into looking more like Christ and to give me a passion for missions, to kind of give me a vision for our ministry. Adam and I are really passionate about being involved in missions, and we're not sure if that means going overseas or if that just means getting people here fired up about taking the gospel to the nations. And so the Lord has really used the people of Nicaragua and the ministry to really mold me. And so thanks for letting us share about it. I'm going to give you some more of the logistics about what we actually do during the week and tell you about the different ministries that we have while we're down there. Like Adam said, the primary goal of the teams that are sent by BMDMI is to meet the spiritual needs and then the physical needs of the people. And of course, we know that whatever kinds of medicines we give them and whatever health care we give them is not going to last very long because we can't do a lot in a week. But the real hope that we can give them is the gospel. And so that's the main objective, is to share Christ and to give them a lasting hope. But we also know the importance of meeting their physical needs. You know, Christ said, when you feed the poor, when you feed the least of these, you're feeding me. You know, when you take care of the poor and the needy, you're doing it for me. And so we know that it's important to meet both needs. And so so the primary ministries are evangelistic and then medical. We set up a medical clinic, usually in a school. That's usually the nicest facility that they have. They're open air, kind of open windowed buildings, but they're somewhat nice and they have different rooms. And so the medical clinic will be in one room, and nurses, usually more nurses and maybe a couple doctors, will work in that ministry, and they'll set up little stations with school desks, and they'll see patients just like they would in a clinic at home. But before anybody can come see the doctor, and all the coming to see the doctor is free. The people, anybody can come absolutely free to the clinic. But before they can come, they have to go to a church service. The church service usually takes place in a big tent, kind of in the middle of a field. But they have a sound system, and they have a band that works for the ministry that plays Spanish songs, worship songs. And then one of our team members, a preacher or just any man who really wants to preach the gospel, gets up and preaches the gospel. And they have an interpreter who translates that for the people. And so these church services are happening all day that we're in the village, usually, would you say four? usually four services a day, and groups of about anywhere from 150 to 250 during each service. And then as soon as they hear the gospel, they can get their card and go to the medical clinic and see the doctor. So those are the two main ministries. Then we have a lot of other ministries that we do as well. There's a pharmacy. We give the people free medicine. We ship all the medicine from the United States in advance, and our team has to raise, each person has to pay an individual team fee to go on the trip, but we also raise a general amount of money to pay for all the medicines that we take, all the food that we take. So we ship all the medicine in advance, and then we're able to give the people whatever the doctors prescribe. Typically, it's just basic stuff that we could have easy access to in America, things like Tylenol. A lot of them get worm medicine, multivitamins. We give that to almost everybody that we see. And we do have a pharmacist that works in that ministry and helps out, but also people who have no training in pharmacy can work in there. I've worked in the pharmacy all week because you just find the medicines on their cards, put them in a bag, and give them to the people.
That's a really expensive ministry because, I mean, we send, there's probably 10 or 15 different types of antibiotics that they will send just to treat everything. I mean, these people are, you know, literally dying from colds and just small little things that we can just get antibiotics from, you know, sexually transmitted diseases and all kinds of things. That it's really sad, but that's a really expensive aspect of ministry because medicine is not cheap. So.
Yeah. Okay, and so in addition to the pharmacy, we have a dental clinic. Typically, we have a dentist that goes, not always. There's a Nicaraguan dentist who will go out with the different teams. And then the dental hygienist can work in the clinic as well, or other volunteers. One of my best friends, a college student, worked in the dentist for years when she went. And most of what they do is pull rotten teeth because the people don't have any dental work. They haven't really had access to a dentist, and so they have a lot of decay. And so a lot of it is just pulling teeth, a lot of what they do in that. And a lot of them want to see the dentist. It's optional if you want to come to see the dentist, and a lot of them do. They also have an eyeglass clinic that we set up. We have glasses that are donated from the States. And when I first started going, they didn't have this equipment. The people would come and they would just try on a pair until, you know, they could see. And now they've, throughout the years, they've gotten some kind of equipment where they can match their eyes and find them the right pair. So really anybody can work in the eyeglass clinic and help out in there. You don't have to have any special training in that. A newer ministry that our team has started doing is beans and rice, which is we purchase the beans and rice and give each family that comes to the doctor a bag of beans and rice, And along with that, last year, we added a clothing ministry, and we had clothes donated from people in the U.S., just old things that people didn't wear anymore, kind of like a yard sale, and shipped down a lot of clothing. And so each family that came through the clinic would get beans and rice, and then each person could pick out something in the store, so we call it. And then this year we had a lady from the States who has a ministry called Hemmed in Prayer, and she makes these little dresses for little girls. She'll take one pattern and make a different size, like from 2 to 8, and she and her friends, she has a group that does it, and they make just a ton of these dresses, and they ship them over, and they call it Hemmed in Prayer because they pray for every dress, pray over every dress, and pray for whoever will receive that dress. And so that was really neat. I got to work in the clothing ministry this year a little bit, and the little girls, their eyes would just light up when you would hand them a new dress, just because it's like Christmas, you know, it's like something that they never get, just a little cotton dress, and they were so excited. We also do children's ministries while we're there. We have children's church. When the parents are hearing the gospel presented in the big tent, there's another little tent, and the kids can go after the worship. And somebody from our team will lead them in songs and little silly games. They'll teach them songs in English, and usually they present the gospel. And they have an interpreter with them to help them do that. We also do VBS, usually 2 times during the day for the children who live in the particular village where we're serving. We'll say, we'll go out to the gate of the complex where we're staying, and we'll say, you know, walk around the village and hold a sign, come at 10. And 2. And so they'll come maybe twice a day and stay for an hour, and they'll do little crafts and games and songs, and of course tell them about Jesus and how they can know Jesus is their Savior. Another newer ministry that we started is youth girls and youth boys ministry. We had been going for, my dad had been going for years, and they had always had ministries for the adults and for the children, but nothing really for the teenagers. And so they decided that we really needed to reach out to that group while we were there. And so we created youth boys and youth girls, and usually it's teenagers or college students that work with these kids, sometimes adults, whoever really wants to work in that ministry. But with the girls, we'll do things like hair. We'll cut their hair. A lot of them don't get haircuts, and we'll fix it and paint their nails and do makeup, just kind of all things girls. And we'll talk to them just about issues that girls are facing. We talked about inner beauty, sexual purity, dressing modestly, and of course how they could have a relationship with the Lord. And then the boys, they do sports and games and, you know, all things boy. And then they do a Bible study with them as well. And so we do a lot of things, and anybody can go. We have also have cooks that go with us. We can't eat any of the food over there because our bodies just can't handle the strand of bacteria. So we can't drink any of the water. We have to ship all of our water, all of our food. And we have people that come and cook, and they are a blessing. Their ministry is to minister to the team. And that's what they do, is they cook all day, three meals for teams of 40 to 70 people, depending on the team. And so they get up at 4, and they're going all day.
I probably eat better there than I do here.
They bless us. We have good cooks on our team. They really, it is their ministry to feed us and to get our team strong and ready to go. And then we have, like Adam said, some guys that come and do maintenance. The conditions where we stay are very primitive. We sleep in the schoolhouse. We have these little foam mattresses that the mission organization provides for us. And then we just sleep on the floor. And some villages have running toilets and some don't. And so if they don't, we just have a baño. So we call it just kind of a concrete block in the ground. And our maintenance guys will go in there and they'll put like a toilet seat on it. And they'll try to spray air freshener and make it as pleasant for the team as possible. So we have people that go and minister to the team while we're there. And in that way, you know, they're serving the people as well. And then I was going to tell you, that's what each particular team does. And the ministry of Baptist Medical and Dental Mission International, their primary ministry is to send teams. And usually, I think teams go every week of the summer from different places. And like Adam was telling you, my dad started going with another team, with a team from Mississippi in 91 as a doctor. And then he felt the Lord calling him to take a team from our area of South Alabama in 96. And so he's been taking you know, teams in, of anywhere from 40 to 70 people since 96, pretty much every summer. And so the ministry is very dear to our family, and the people are very near and dear to our family. But BMDMI also has ministries in the country besides sending teams. They have some things that they've established there. They have full-time missionary service. They have, I don't even know how many, probably 20 families that are full-time missionaries there that are working in the country with this organization, with the teams, and with other ministries, doing follow-up discipleship with the people that we evangelize to and other things. They have a Bible Institute. Adam mentioned that one year we built a church in a village, and so a pastor is typically a new convert that's come to the Lord, and so they have, the BMDMI has started a Bible Institute, kind of like a seminary, to train the pastors on how to teach the Bible to these people, how to lead a church. And
most of those people, they can't read when they first enter the Bible Institute. They teach them basic things, teach them how to read, teach them how to write a little bit, and basically just get them fired up about the Bible and send them out. It's really small. They're actually, I'm working on getting a team of seminary guys together to go down and teach at the Bible Institute. Me, teach a seminary class to Bible Institute. That tells you how basic it is.
They have the Bible Institute. They have the Emmanuel Children's Home in Nicaragua. It's for girls who have been abused. They have a missionary couple that moved down there, and they run this home. And it's for girls who have been physically abused or sexually abused. A lot of them are pregnant, kind of like a crisis pregnancy center almost. They come in, they help them take care of their babies and get back on their feet. And, of course, you know, minister to them and help them to know the Lord. They also have a school that was started by one of the missionaries, one of the full-time missionaries, started the Mount Olive Christian School in one of the villages. They have sewing schools in Nicaragua. These are to help the women as a source of income to learn how to sew and to sell things in the village. They teach the women how to do that. And then they have started some permanent medical and dental clinics in the country. So BMDMI is doing a lot of follow-up work from the teams, because when we go in and we can share the gospel, but they need people to go behind us to disciple these people, to help them grow in their faith, to get churches established. And so it's really neat if you go more than once. If you go more than one summer, you get to see the way that the Lord has moved from year to year as churches are grown and established, and as, you know, as we're making a real difference and the Lord's using us to make a real difference. And so we love seeing the growth of our ministry. Adam said a little bit, the team that my dad started taking originally was just people from our little area of South Alabama, and it's grown through connections. Now his team has a group from Oklahoma that joins us on his team, a group from Mississippi, about 5 people from Kentucky that come with us. And this year his team was so big that his nurse practitioner, who worked in his clinic and felt led to take her own team, so they broke off into 2 teams, and we actually went with Adam was telling you, my dad's nurse practitioner's team, and it was a smaller team and a new team, but it's really neat to see it growing. And so we love to talk to new people about it, share about what's going on in Nicaragua and what the Lord's doing, and you know, we just want people to get involved through your prayers, through your giving, and through your going, whatever you know, you feel the Lord is calling you to do in that area. We appreciate and covet your prayers for the people there, that as the churches are established, that real seeds of faith are planted and that people are being discipled and growing. And of course, it's a huge finance to go. Just each person has to pay about $1,700 as their individual fee, and then about $25,000 has to be raised as a general team fee to pay for all the medicines, the food, all the general expenses. And we raise that all through our local churches giving and different fundraisers and different people that just donate. And so we're just happy to share, and please pray for us. Please pray that this ministry would continue to grow. Pray for the people of Nicaragua and for us as we continue to minister to them. And so thanks for letting us share.
We have a small video. It's about 7 minutes. Sarah and I will stay up here afterwards, and if you have any questions, please feel free to come by to talk to us and ask us about our experience. We'd love to recruit you.